Isn't that cute? Wait, hold on. Let me show you what's going on outside my door here.
They doing a drive-by.
No, it's a drive-by graduation situation. Hold on. Yay! Isn't that cool? Yes.
Man, what the hell going on in your front yard?
I'm glad I put some pants on. I started not to. And then I just remembered I did have pants on, and I'm so happy.
See? You know what? All of this is being recorded. I know it's being recorded. So you know.
I know it is being recorded. That's awesome. This is what happens in my neighborhood.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a shot of the ghetto. The ghetto in New Orleans. Look at the ruckus. Drive by. He hanging out the side like dude from Boys in the Hood.
That's awesome.
He got the chopper. Look, he got the chopper. He got the chopper. Damn. Yeah, see what I'm saying? Ladies and gentlemen, you just witnessed a drive-by.
Man, he's a part of this.
Look at that, and all the smoke. Look at all the smoke.
Burning something up.
We don't have smoke in my neighborhood. His car about to blow up. It's a car bomb.
Y'all just pop pills in your neighborhood.
Hell yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, what you just witnessed was a day in the life in the hood.
Whatever. That is a lie. Hold on.
Ladies and gentlemen and ghetto men from the graduation, just in case any of you are listening.
Really?
The ghetto men. Welcome back to another episode of Black Law and Legal Lies, where we specialize in bringing you the truth, the current truth as we know it. Sometimes facts change. And when those facts change, we appear to be wrong. However, we are always right. My name is Dan. Keep up with me on Twitter and on IG at I Am Dan on Drugs. Keep up with the show across all platforms at Black Law Podcast.
And I'm just saying, and you can follow me at I Tell Legal Lies on Twitter. And I don't know about him. I am actually always right because I strive to tell the truth. You know, you take your chances if you believe anything Dan says.
The current truth as we know it.
The truth as you know it.
Okay. Right. The current
gotcha.
Truth. So, ladies and gentlemen, as I am pretty sure most of you are aware of the incident in Georgia, which is becoming the new normal, like during quarantine, during lockdown. This was before lockdown because this happened in what, February? The shooting
This happened in February, correct.
Ahmaud Arbery. Now, It just goes back to what we've been saying since like what? Episode one, being black in America, living while black, breathing
right,
while black.
I mean, we've discussed driving while black, shopping while black, like you said, just living while black. We have always been stigmatized. That is actually something that as black and brown people, we've never been able to avoid. What's going on now is there is more of an outcry and people are actually listening now. You know, there's been outcries throughout history, but with the advent of social media and everybody having a camera readily available, now it's seen. You know, we've spoken about it, but what people have always said is, wham, 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 get over it. You know, it happened, get over it. Or we don't know if it happened like that. But now you have video cameras that are capturing exactly what happened. And even then, you have people that say, well, we didn't see what happened off camera. You don't need to see what happened off camera.
That social media shit and the internet, everyone being so interconnected, is a gift and a curse because, yeah, it does give us the ability to show people these things that happen to us in our community. But on the flip side, it also allows people like, let's say the Charlottesville incident. It allows people who all share the same ideology, racist. It connects them easier. They're able to put together these events and these staged protests and things like that. So it's like it's a gift and a curse, in my opinion.
No, you're right. Because as you said, it's allowed people that are like-minded to join together readily. And it also gives them a platform, which, you know, they didn't have so, you know, swiftly. I can type up something right now, send it out, and have 100,000 people react, when used to be, you know, I actually had to work at getting what I wanted to say out. You know, I had to do more work than just type up a paragraph and hit send or post or tweet, you know? So
apparently, homeboy was jogging in his neighborhood or surrounding neighborhood, decided to go check out a new build, new construction. And then they released the video, a security camera of him inside of this new construction. There's nothing
seconds.
In there.
20 seconds. There were no walls.
Studs. That's all it was.
Right. The boy was in there, like I said, roughly 20 seconds. If that, he went in, he looked around, and he came out.
Now, and curiosity, now there's been times where I've seen buildings being built or houses for that matter, and I've never been brave enough to go inside, but I've stopped, slowed down, looked, and I'm like, I wonder what this is going to look like. Now, if it's a house in your neighborhood, I can understand wanting to go in there and take a look at the floor plan, say, okay, well, what they doing in here? Because just curiosity.
Right. I have been brave enough to do that. I have actually gone into construction sites and looked around, you know, not because I wanted to take anything, but as you said, human nature makes us all voyeurs. We are all voyeuristic to some degree. So you want to see what's going on. Matter of fact, there were at least three white guys in my office. We were having this discussion and they said, I've done that. You know, I've been jogging, seen a house under construction.
Let me stop you. Ain't no white guys in your office jog nowhere. You're lying.
I promise you, this is the way the conversation
Maybe one of them jogs.
I've been jogging and this person said that the house was all enclosed, all the doors and windows were on, and he did one of these numbers window. So it's like human, like you said, human nature. We have this desire to see.
Now,
you know, so.
And on that note, I've actually done some things a little more. All right. So bottom line, whether you like it or not, what he did technically was trespassing. Technically.
Correct.
But
it was.
I've taken it to another level back, and I tweeted this too when the surveillance came out. They have what's called, if you're not familiar with Urbex, it's urban exploration. You go, you find old abandoned buildings, things that interest you, bomb shelters, old schools, and you essentially do the same thing. You break in, you walk around, take pictures, and it's kind of like what the Boy Scouts say. Leave everything undisturbed so no one knows you were there. You don't take anything. You take pictures. That's it. I've been in, there's an abandoned power plant in New Orleans. I've been in Kennedy High School right before they tore it down, broke in there.
Correct.
I've been in Six Flags, the theme park that's been closed since Hurricane Katrina that has wild boar and alligators running around. And all of that shit was, I wasn't looking to steal nothing. I wasn't thrill seeking. I was just curious and I had a camera and I wanted to go take pictures of these places. So if this man got shot for going into a new construction, basically a bunch of wood, yo, shit, I'm surprised I didn't get gunned down. And there's one time when I did get called by the police, I broke in. Now, ladies and gentlemen, when I say break in, I'm not forcibly breaking in. There are ways in. But I broke into, there's a pool in Gert Town. I don't know if it's there anymore, across from Xavier. So I go in there, and I'm going to post the pictures with this episode. But I go in there, and I'm taking pictures. And then it's in the neighborhood. One of the neighbors called the police, said someone was in there. So I'm crawling out and I see the police. So he's like, what are you doing? Did you go in there? And I'm like, nope, I ain't going there. I just like peeking through there. So he's like, well, we got a call saying someone broke in. And I'm looking, it's Xavier's police. It's not even NOPD. So apparently Xavier owns that land, or they lease it from the city or whatever. But that could have gone really bad had that officer really gave a fuck. But he's more like, and just get the hell out of here. So, yeah, I mean, I've done a lot of trespassing in my day, and never once did I think I could get shot or I would be shot. And going right, back well, to your boy.
It's surprising that you actually, that thought never crossed your mind, considering where you were doing that at. You know, even though this is New Orleans, you are in the South.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you are in the South, and not even the South, but because you are in the South, we don't have the benefit of the doubt. You know, we are not, as Black and brown people, we are not given the benefit of much, but doubt is definitely not a benefit that we have when the circumstances call for it. And in this particular situation, Ahmaud Arbery definitely was not given the benefit of anything. He was not. And, you know, the irony of this is, and I may offend some people because I am not going to speak the name of Ahmaud Arbery's murderers. You know, I want to call them Hillbilly 1 and Hillbilly 2. And that may offend some hillbillies. So I am sorry. I apologize for all the hillbillies of the world.
Man, fuck that, them hillbillies.
That I'm actually putting this moniker on them. Hillbilly 1, by the way, would be the father. Hillbilly 2 would be the son. But the irony of the situation is Hillbilly 2's attorney, in a statement, he gave a press conference. And in the statement, he said that his client is innocent until proven guilty, and that is his right under the law. And I said, huh, that's amazing that his client is innocent until proven guilty, but that is a right that Hillbilly 2 and Hillbilly 1 did not afford Ahmaud Arbery. He was looked at, and in their minds, according to them, he was guilty of a crime. So because of that crime, they acted as judge, jury, and executioner, mm-hmm. and summarily executed this young man.
Right.
And then they did it, as I said, under the auspices of the law, which in Georgia has a citizen's arrest law. And there are many states that have citizen arrest laws, and they are invoking not only the citizen's arrest law in this case, they're also invoking the stand your ground law, which, as far as Black and brown people are concerned, is the new I can lynch them law.
Right. Now, explain for the listeners. I'm sure most of us at least have heard citizen's arrest before. I've always been under the impression that that's bullshit. A citizen's arrest is bullshit.
Okay, so it is not bull. As I said, it is legal. But, okay, specifically in the case of the Georgia law was designed for...
runaway slaves? No, seriously, it probably really was.
It was actually designed for retail people. Because, you know, shoplifters and we are intimately aware of that whole shoplifting thing in a retail setting. We used to work next door to this store where people on a daily basis would come in and steal things. And I'm not just talking little things. They would steal in the eyesight of people who work there and anybody else. They would take it and casually walk out the door. But this law in Georgia was enacted for retail people so that they would be able to detain shoplifters for the police.
Now,
right,
if someone places you under citizen's arrest, so let's walk through this real quick. Mm-hmm. I see someone in the commission of a crime. I say, freeze, I'm placing you under citizen's arrest. Do they literally have to what's the word here? Because what I saw on social media was the reason Ahmaud Arbery is dead is because he didn't comply with simple commands. That was actually said on social media by some idiot. And when you think about it, why do I have to listen to simple commands?
How is it a simple command when two hillbillies with guns are behind you saying, hey, I'm trying to talk to you, or stop, right. I'm trying to talk to you? What person in their right mind would stop in that situation?
Exactly. But again, it's just it was some white person trying to justify the actions of said two men. But I guess what I'm getting at is, do you have to comply with a citizen's arrest? If I place you under citizen's arrest, do you have to comply?
No. And see, that's the thing. But having said no, technically you do, because it is written in the law that you can do that. You can arrest someone as a regular citizen. The law goes on, and there have been court cases about how much force can be used. And there's a case that went all the way to the Supreme Court, and basically it said that deadly force cannot be used.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So at best, as you said, Ahmaud Arbery was guilty of trespassing, which in this particular case would have been a misdemeanor, mm-hmm. not even a felony. Right? So that's one thing. Two, nothing that he did would warrant deadly force. Period.
Right.
Nothing that he did would warrant deadly force. But as I said, the other linchpin of this situation is stand your ground. And Georgia has one of those. And mm-hmm. as far as Georgia's stand your ground goes, you do not have the duty to
retreat.
Back off.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So now the thing becomes, okay, I was the aggressor, but I thought that my life was in jeopardy. So I used the force necessary to save myself.
See, and what's crazy about that is I forget what episode it was, but we did an episode, and one of the examples given in the episode, I think we were talking about self-defense, is
Trayvon
me
Martin
walking up to you, punching you mm-hmm. in the face, mm-hmm. and then you hitting me back and me shooting and killing you because it was self-defense. When I initiated the altercation. So, like, what do you expect as a normal person, not some redneck racist dude, but what do you expect when you're approaching somebody, you're armed to the teeth, like,
mm-hmm.
man.
And I'm not.
Right,
I'm not.
Exactly.
I have nothing except myself. And I don't even think, did the young man have a cell phone? Because I don't even think they said anything about him having a cell phone on him. So,
I don't know, but if you're out for a jog, I would assume he might have had either a wearable device or a cell phone. But regardless,
you have nothing. Right. You have nothing. You have nothing that would incite harm or fear of harm in anybody. But you and see, that's the problem that I see with some of these stand your ground laws, because you can be the aggressor. And then mm-hmm. turn around and use this law to get you out of some stuff. So, but the one good thing is the court and everyone else has to take in the totality of the circumstances. And the fact that you were the aggressor weighs in on this thing. So as far as Ahmaud Arbery goes and his circumstances, as I said, Hillbilly 1 and 2, they pretty much premeditated this. This was not the first time that they had done this. And things are coming out now wherein Hillbilly 2, the son, mm-hmm. actually had made a 911 call maybe a couple of weeks prior saying exact same thing. You know, they said that he sounded like he had been running and he was severely out of breath. I heard a part of the conversation, the call, and he was saying that that was a burglary. He was tracking a burglary suspect. Same exact scenario. I'm tracking this burglary suspect. And, you know, this is where you need to get to. And when the cops came there was nobody there. But We know that that house was under surveillance. And they looked at the surveillance record, and there was a person who had gone in, same thing, did exactly what Ahmaud Arbery did, went into the house, walked around, and then walked out.
Now, like, did the two dudes own this property?
No, was not okay. Their house, was not their house, was not their house. And the crazy thing, they had supposedly the neighbor in the house next to the new construction sent the text message to the owner after that first incident saying that Hillbilly 2 had called the cops and X, Y, and Z. And I'm sitting up here like, you know, people sometimes just ought to mind their business.
Yeah. See, and in the Black community, we have these rules, right, that we live by called mind your goddamn business. And
mind your business.
You know what? Everyone's for the best when you do that. When you look at a lot of these situations where I saw one video where some young Black men had rented a Airbnb. One of the other ladies in the building, racist white lady. This was in, I want to say Norfolk, Virginia, Virginia Beach, somewhere there. Same. She like harasses these boys and she calls the police and say, like, you're getting out of here.
Right.
We're put like, no matter where we go or what we do. So I had this conversation with someone recently. Right. And I'm not saying this to be offensive, but if you get offended, fuck you. We were talking about, the Latino community, right? And how, so the way this conversation was framed was, you know, Latinos are looked down upon. They're the worst ethnicity in the United States as far as by the majority. They're looked down upon the worst. And I'm like,
who said that?
That I'm going to keep the source confidential. But it, of course, it was a Latino person. But
wow.
So we're having this conversation and they're like, you know, we get treated the worst. We get talked about. We get painted as this person is of Mexican descent. So he's like, you know, we get painted as lazy. We, you know, just sneaking into the country. We're all illegal. And, you know, we're just looked at the worst. We're looked at the worst. We're treated the worst. And I'm like, that's not true. Black people have been historically treated the worst. So when the Irish came over, right, the Irish... Yeah, you know, we know what it's like, too, to be treated. No, you don't. You really don't. The Chinese, right. When the Chinese came over to help, what, build the railroads. Yeah, we know what it's like. No, you don't. This has been consistently happening to us for since the dawn of time, pretty much, since we were enslaved and bought over here. You look at a lot of the Asians now, they're respected. More than Black people. Let me say
They're prominent. They're respected, and it's okay to marry into their families. You know, it's okay for an Asian person to marry into
a white person.
Anglo, yeah, you know, an Anglo family. It's okay. Nobody. It's okay for a Hispanic person to marry into an Anglo family. Nobody really looks at that. But let a brother or sister.
Right.
But, you know, let a Black person marry into an Anglo family. Then
exactly. Man, so going back to the citizen's arrest and the use of force, right? I don't think I made it any secret that I'm a concealed weapons permit holder. So I'm able to carry a firearm on my person that is concealed that you wouldn't know I had, right?
Correct.
So if someone places me under air quotes, citizen's arrest, right? And they tried to use force. I'm going to take that as I'm going to feel as if they're a threat. And let's say I do what a lot of these George Zimmermans, these rednecks in Georgia do and shoot the bastard dead, right?
Okay.
Now, technically, right. So which one would win? The citizen's arrest, let's say there's a third party there that videoed it or something that has them placing me under citizen's arrest, but they try to use force and I shoot them and kill them.
All right. So here's the thing. I think that it would hinge on whether or not you were being arrested lawfully. So were you committing a crime?
Does it matter? I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no.
See, that's the thing. But would the video capture you in the commission of a crime? Would nope. would the video show you in the commission of a crime? That see, that for me is what this thing would probably hinge on. If they were lawfully making a citizen's arrest and you shot them, then I would say that you would probably wind up, you probably wind up in jail anyway, but you would probably wind up in jail and possibly found guilty, right? But if these people were not lawfully engaging in a citizen's arrest and you were in fear of your life, because as mindset is the key to most things, you say you did absolutely nothing, but like most Black men, if you're jogging down the street, you're suspect, because of course, as I said, you're not given the benefit of the doubt. So you're jogging down the street and you did absolutely nothing. You did not go into this house. You were just simply jogging down the street. And these two hillbillies jumped in the truck and they start trying to flag you down, and you avoid them, and eventually they get out, and he got out with a shotgun, as in this particular case. One, you in your head, you know that you've done nothing wrong. What you see is this person jumping out of a vehicle with a shotgun. First thing I would think is this person is trying to rob me or, you know, commit some sort of bodily harm, because why else would they have a shotgun in hand approaching me, right? I have my weapon, which I carry, and I'm carrying it lawfully, shoot. And I would 95% think that you would be found not guilty.
By reasonable jurors, because let's face it. Now, what that takes us to, though, is a couple of contrasting incidents that also happened during the same time frame. We have, well, let's stay in Georgia, the basketball player. I'm not 100% up on exactly what happened, but to the best of my knowledge is a white couple wandered into this man's home. The house was supposedly for sale or something. And much like Ahmaud Arbery, they wanted to be nosy. So they wanted to go check the house out. This is according to them, the last report I read, at least. So the gate was open, gated house. They go past the gate. The door was open or unlocked, so they decide to wander in. And but we announced ourselves, and the person told us to come on in and then fired shots at us. Dude is, well, he was bailed out, luckily, because he had the resources. But they took him to jail immediately because Black man.
He shot at some white people in his own home.
Right. So that's,
I mean, that's reasonable. They should have taken him to jail, because why should he, as a Black man in America, be able to defend his home? Why should he be able to defend his home?
That reminds me too, NFL player Sean Taylor. He's deceased now, but he if I'm not mistaken, he used to have firearms. And then he got convicted of either a felony or some kind of crime, something that prohibited him from having
a firearm.
So he's chilling in his house. He hears some noises or whatever. He gets up to go look, and some dudes were robbing the house. They thought he wasn't there because he was a Redskins player. So, and the house was like in Florida or something. But
Redskins were on the road.
They ended up killing him.
They killed him.
They killed him, and they finally got caught. But so he wasn't able to defend himself because he wasn't able to possess a firearm. Yeah. So there's just so much bullshit, man. And then the last one, homeboy, what's the dude? I was reading about him today, but the EMT who was shot and killed.
So. That one, that, and you know, I mentioned this to you before, but Crump is involved in all of these cases. And I don't know if dude is not a good luck charm. I don't know why these people engage him, but that's just an aside. But yeah,
Benjamin Crump.
EMT worker and her live-in boyfriend at their own home sleeping. Police bust down the door. Cars that they were in were unmarked. They had no badges displayed. They had nothing to show that they were actually police officers. Mm-hmm. They bust in the door. Boyfriend wakes up, takes shots at these unknown
intruders.
Armed men. That's to them, to in their head, these are armed intruders in my house. He defended himself. This young lady winds up dead. He winds up in jail because the cops say that they announced themselves. They had a warrant, but it was a no-knock. So we discussed this off camera. It was a no-knock warrant. And I don't know how familiar y'all are with jump out boys and SWAT teams and things of that nature. But I know, you know, having been in and around law enforcement, when you have a no-knock warrant, 99% of the time, you do not announce yourself. The reason why you have a no-knock warrant is because you want to surprise the people that are the target of the warrant. So you don't knock on the door and say, open the door, it is the police. That no-knock warrant gives you the ability to ram the door in and rush into the house, which is what the cops did. This is what the boyfriend said, because unfortunately, this young lady cannot speak for herself. She is dead. But the boyfriend said that they did not announce themselves. He said that one minute they were sleeping, the next minute he had grabbed his gun and he was running to go and see who was breaking into their home.
Mm-hmm.
So and in the end, she dies, he goes to jail, and the cops are like, oh, we did our jobs correctly.
Now, as a gun owner myself, that's usually my first reaction whenever something unexpected is happening, something's going on, loud noise, banging, whatever. Like I said, for the show we did about my whole jury duty situation.
Right.
I heard sounds that were loud enough to wake me up. If I'm sleeping and something wakes me up, startles me, I'm automatically assuming danger because that should not be happening. I grab my firearm. Every time that happens, I grab a firearm and it's like, luckily I've never had to use it, but that's just instinctual.
It's instinct.
I need to protect yourself. Myself and family.
Whomever's
in
my house.
So exactly. He fired that. And I'd have to say I would have done the exact same thing. If I'm in my house and you're coming in, like, I don't care who you are.
How do I know who you are? But that's the thing, though. How do I know who you are? It would be different if they really did announce themselves. You know, if they said,
but
open
even,
up
even,
law enforcement.
Even if they did announce themselves, I think this happened here in New Orleans this was maybe in the mid-2000s, for a good month. There were people dressed as police officers serving warrants.
Stopping people.
Mm-hmm. And they were robbing these people, showing up at their house. They left one family tied up, took all their shit. So it's like, even then, I would have a hard time trusting that you are who you say you are. I'm going to need to see marked cars. I'm going to need to see flashing lights and all kinds of shit before I trust at 2:00 in the morning that you really are the police.
I get it. But as I said, I'm more apt to, if you announced yourself and then you show me the warrant and whatever. But what's crazier about that and this story is that initially they said that the warrant was gotten for the wrong home.
Mm-hmm.
And then they came back and said they had seen her car. So correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't know if I'm remembering as accurately as I think, but they had seen her car parked at the unknown trap house, and or her car had been used by the person that they were looking for. She, some kind of way, they're trying to connect
her car,
the person
yeah.
that died, her car, to the person that they were looking for via the warrant. See, and supposedly this dude, he, you know, he was selling a lot of weight. I don't know, but
that, I think it's vice versa. I think his car was parked at her
house.
Yeah. And well, but again, regardless, I think the dude, his name's Kenneth Walker. I just looked it up. He did what any man should do.
Would do. Right. And exactly right.
Now they're trying to charge him with attempted murder of a police officer. Now,
correct.
Get this. Shout to the judge, to Olu Stevens. This dude has a history with the state of, was it Kentucky? Louisville?
I don't. Yeah, it is Louisville. Yes, it is.
He's known for a couple of years ago, he got suspended because he dismissed an all-white jury. There was an all-white jury, and the person on trial was a black person. Mm-hmm. So he dismissed the jury and said, get the fuck out of here. I want to see more diversity on this jury.
Correct.
So he got suspended, I think, for like 90 days or something for that, because that, I don't know. I just know he got so.
Because the Constitution says that a jury are my peers. 12 white people, believe it or not, they're not my peers. You know, they don't know. And I know it sounds cliche, but they don't know my struggle. They don't. They don't know what black people go through on a daily basis. And you know what's funny? What's funny is, just to give you an example of how oblivious white people are to what goes on with black people or some, you know, brown people too on a daily basis. We had a discussion in our office, and we were talking about, you know, this pandemic and children not having food to eat and how they rely on school lunches to feed them for the most part, you know, breakfast, lunch, as the one or the two good meals that they have in a day.
Man,
and one of the white...
I survived off of that shit too, right quick too.
Yes.
My mama used to drop me off at school an hour before school started, because that's when you got breakfast.
School lunch. Yeah, school breakfast, right.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so we were having this discussion because I made a comment about how I felt badly for the kids because of, you know, those meals that they count on. And white guy in the office goes, I don't understand that. So what do they do during the summer when school is not there? And I said, they're in programs feed them. And he goes, well, why? And then one day we were having a discussion about walking down the street and people shifting across the street and shifting on the sidewalk when they see you walking towards them. And this same person said, that's not true. And I said, maybe not for you.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, is that true? Does that happen? I said, in 2020,
that's been black people's problems our entire existence. Is, I'm telling you, this is what's happening. Wait, is that really happening? Let me ask somebody else. Seriously?
Right.
Like, you're not going to believe me telling you this, but let four or five other people confirm it. And then you're still going to be fucking suspicious.
Right. You're still not going to believe, because how many times has our good friend said, that's not true? And we've had to say, yes, it is.
Man,
it's because they have never experienced it. It's because it's like, I would love for them just to spend a day in a life.
Right.
Honestly, it would give them perspective, but they don't have it. And because they have never experienced that, because they've never had to go through that, it is hard for them to wrap their minds around it, because they hear it. And even hearing it from outside sources, it can't be as bad as that. And believe me, this same person said those exact words. It can't be as bad as that. And I said, you're right. It's worse.
I call that being complicit. I don't even call that being ignorant. I don't call that being, oh, I'm unaware, I can't relate. That's just being straight up complicit.
You know,
because
what?
If you don't see a problem,
it's human though, because we don't complicit? Want to see. No, it is human. We don't want to see. That's just like, for example,
I don't want to see this shit. I'm seeing it.
You are seeing it because you have to. But for the most part, things that we don't want to acknowledge, we are deliberately, willfully blind to. Because think about this. You might know that the guy two blocks down is beating his wife. You might know that. Mm-hmm. But have you ever called the police to report it? No. You willfully turn. You turn a blind eye because you don't want to be involved.
That's Guess going what? Back to the top of the show, though. Black people have a certain set of rules. Mind your damn business.
Mind your business. Exactly right. So in their head, it's mind your business for things that I don't want to acknowledge happening, even though I know it is. Because if I acknowledge that this thing is happening, then you're right. That makes me the bad guy and my people the bad guy. And I can't live with that. I can't live with the fact that in 2020, there are people that are still out there that treat Black people like the scum of the earth.
Let me revisit 2018 real quick, too, because I just got reminded about this maybe 2 or 3 days ago. And shout out to the person who reminded me, because I can't think of her name right now. But so in 2018, I was working late by myself in the office. I'm getting changed to go to the gym, and I hear the door to the suite open and close. So I'm assuming that it is our coworker, and it wasn't. So I swing the door open thinking I'm about to startle him. I get a gun and a taser in my face by the police officer. So anyway, they asked me, I talked about this before. So just to summarize, they asked me for ID. I said I didn't have ID because it was in my gym bag. And they told me they were responding to an alarm. I told them we don't have an alarm. Then they tried to convince me we had a silent alarm, even though I'd been working there for 13, 14 years at the time. So it's like, no, we don't have a silent alarm. Well, can you prove to me you work here? So thinking fast, I grabbed my keys. I said, yeah, we can lock the door and I'll show you that I have access to the office. Did all that. They left. So I called management of the company and I said, yo, man, I just explained what I just did to him. And he said, are you sure that happened? The fuck do you mean? Am I sure that a police officer put a gun in my face and another one put a taser in my face? What do you mean? Am I sure? And then again, it went straight to the justification. Well, this must have happened or that must have happened. Mm-hmm. Maybe someone saw you coming in the office and they thought you were breaking in. Maybe it was an alarm for the office one street over. Like, that has the same address, but a different street name. And I'm like, nah, I'm pretty sure that's not it. But again, mm-hmm. I'm like, just the fact that you would start trying to justify why this happened to you. Like, let me walk up.
Once again, like I said, it's because they don't want to believe that in this day and age, that is still happening. Because in their head, In America, we've moved so far away from our wicked, wicked past. You know, we've moved so far away. And these are these same people that say, man, I want these people to be off of food stamps. And I want these people to be off of housing. But they benefit because they buy properties and put them on Section 8.
Yeah.
Same people who say stuff like that. Same people who say, man, these Mexicans coming in here illegally. But when they need work done on their rental property, first people that they go and get are illegal Mexicans.
And
so
they're also the same people that are bitching right now about the additional $600 in unemployment that people affected by COVID are getting. They've never made this much money in their lives. This doesn't give them any incentive to work. So what?
What? Right. Exactly.
They need money. They're getting money. So what? How does this affect you? Because I'm not getting $600. That's basically it. It's fucking jealousy or some shit, man.
Because it's always, yeah, you know, the government's paying for this and the government's doing that. And the government. And they are never going to. But you know what? In my head, the government owes the people more than that.
Yeah. Honestly. And at the same time, these people, I know my people. Here, if we didn't have the welfare systems, the Section 8s, the child cares, this, that, and the other, that's what's keeping us out of your house. So, like,
oh,
yeah, you cut off all that welfare shit. You know what? It's going to be the
crime
80s all over again. Exactly.
Crime,
I'm going to be up in your house. But
and it's sad to say, but it's true.
So real quick in closing, though, the reason I brought up Judge Olu Stevens, the judge that dismissed all white jury, is he is the one that let Kenneth Walker, the dude,
out on bail.
No, didn't give him a bail. Didn't give him a bond. Place him on home arrest, on house arrest.
Ooh.
No bail, no bond, nothing. The union leader of that police department issued a statement, which I would like to share with you. Yesterday, Judge Olu Stevens released inmate Kenneth Walker on home incarceration. The Fraternal Order of Police condemns this judge's actions. Just 1 week ago, this man violently attacked our officers and was charged with attempted murder after shooting a sergeant! Not only is he a threat to the men and women of law enforcement, but he also poses a significant danger to the community we protect! LMPD officers put their lives on the line every day protecting the citizens of this community. Judge Stevens' actions are a slap in the face to everyone wearing a badge. His actions place our community at risk for further violence! While we understand some of the current needs of our local corrections facility, we must sound the alarm now! Home incarceration was not designed for the most violent offenders! I call on the public to condemn the actions of Judge Olu Stevens and support your Louisville Metro police officers and protect your community. So they go on. He goes on to say that the jails are not overcrowded. They're seeing the lowest number of inmates since the early 90s. So that shouldn't have, overcrowding shouldn't have been taken into consideration. And even if the jail were overcrowded, he's such a violent criminal that, so basically dog whistle, because now this man on home arrest has the entire police force gunning for his ass because he shot one of ours.
Right. But you know, it's not funny, but this is something that has played out over and over and over again. You took the fight to him. It's not like this man was on the street committing a crime and in committing that crime, shot a police officer. He was laying in his bed, sleeping, and thought that an intruder was trying to harm him and his girlfriend, who died. You know, we're not talking about the fact that these police officers shot and killed an unarmed, innocent woman. We're talking about, oh yeah, you let a violent criminal out on the street.
And
that's what we're talking about.
That's what they do. They change the narrative and they do it so blatantly that you almost ignore that they're doing it. The same with Ahmaud Arbery.
Right. They are allowed to do that.
Black jogger to
2 months.
This dude was like, he's trespassing. There was a rash of home invasions in this neighborhood.
A violent criminal. We stopped. We should be named heroes because we stopped a rash of burglaries when there was nothing and no one. They looked and they could not find one call or one report about homes that had been burglarized. Mm-hmm. Like, there was not a string of burglaries in that neighborhood. There was nothing but vigilantes out to kill something or someone. They were going to continue to do this, just like the guy who shot the baseball player in the road rage incident here. He had done this multiple times, just had never killed anyone. Just like the guy who shot the black person in the convenience store parking lot. How many times had he done the exact same thing, to the point where the convenience store owner told him to stop coming to his store? It's like, you see this pattern. They do it so many times till it escalates
Michael,
to them.
Michael Brown, they showed the video of him like 30 minutes earlier in a convenience store getting into an altercation or something with the clerk there, which had nothing to do with why Officer Darren Wilson stopped him and then essentially murdered him.
Right, right. But see, like you say, change the narrative, because, whoo, lo and behold.
Oh, don't forget. Don't forget. Botham Jean had marijuana.
Oh, of course. Absolutely. Yeah. That made him, you know, a great target to get gunned down. Now, no doubt about it.
Now, you know, that's the next thing that's going to come out, is Ahmaud Arbery had marijuana in his system, or 0.0009% alcohol from the night before. But here's the thing. Did they test the two idiots who murdered them? Did they test them for drugs or alcohol? Because I bet you would find drugs, alcohol, meth, all that shit.
Probably freaking horse tranquilizers, all that. But you know, the crazy thing is, they did absolutely nothing, because the place, the county in Georgia where that happened, he used to be not only an investigator, but a sheriff's deputy.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, you know, you talked about the Fraternal Order of Police in Kentucky and the letter that they wrote. That was a prosecutor in Georgia, in that county in Georgia, that recused themselves. And in the letter, recusing himself from this case, because they had all worked with Hillbilly One for a very long time before he retired. In that letter recusing himself, he says that Hillbilly One and Hillbilly Two, 100% that this killing was justified because they applied the law, not only the citizen's arrest law, but also the stand your ground law. And because of that, they did nothing wrong, and they should not be found guilty of anything. This is what this person writes in this letter. You know, this black man is dead, but it's through his own fault. You know, he did something to cause his own death. Had he only, like you said, the people said, had he only stopped. But what law says that I have to stop when I see armed men chasing me? When I mean,
again, that's going back to runaway slaves. That's where it goes back to. So in closing, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to share this quote. And by quote, it's by some random person on Reddit. And it says, our species has progressed technologically to a point where complete imbeciles can not only survive to breeding age, but thrive. It's both inspiring and terrifying. That's the goddamn truth.
Oh. So, I agree 100%. And you know, you look at Hillbilly One and Hillbilly Two, and you can you know, just looking at them
and
the things that they said, in regards to this, it's like, you know that they know what they did was wrong, but I have to justify it.
And that's what Paul was talking about not too long ago too. I think that was in the last episode of A Few Screws Loose, is when no matter how much you deny it and not fess up to whatever it is you've done, you know you're wrong. Bottom line, you know you're wrong. So, ladies and gentlemen, this has been another episode of Black Law and Legalized Social Distancing Edition.
Hey.
And, you know, we took a week off here and there because, you know, during this whole quarantine thing, most of the challenge with doing this show is getting my co-host to put on pants, as you heard at the top of the show. No pants, no show, because I'm not down with that shit. Well, some, I'm glad I put on pants today. I had to remind myself. I didn't know I had pants. I'm like, psh.
Yeah, because I ran outside. It's true. I ran outside and I was like, I had to, as soon as I ran outside, I'm sitting outside, like 30 seconds went by. And then I like touched my leg to see if I actually had pants.
And that's where we are in 2020, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Dan. Keep up with me, Twitter, IG at I Am Dan on Drugs. Keep up with the show across all platforms at Black Law Podcast.
And I'm just Dan, and you can follow me at I Tell Legal Lies on Twitter. Thank you, guys. Hopefully, we shake the dust off this new normal, and we can be in the same place at the same time.
I got antibodies. I'm good. Man, I got antibodies.
You know what? Those antibodies could affect me and infect me.
Shit.
And I'm not down with that.
I read the story about the sailors. And from what they're saying is it was not a second infection. It was a longer incubation
period, right? Mm-hmm. They don't think that they actually got rid of the disease. But
or they actually had it to begin with.
Well, that's the thing. They tested positive.
They did, but there was a rash of false positives. And back when they tested them, the testing wasn't as standardized as it is now. So they tested them once. They got a positive. They quarantined them on Guam for 14 days. Mm-hmm. Then tested them again. Got two negatives. Got mm-hmm. back on the ship. They reported flu-like symptoms. Mm-hmm. Then, boom, they got tested and got positive again. So what they're saying is either it has a longer incubation period.
Which is scary. Honestly, any one of the scenarios in my head is scary. Because if they had a longer incubation period, that's scary. Because even during that incubation period, they are shedding virus mm-hmm. and they can infect somebody else. If they had it, they didn't, and now you have it again, means I can be reinfected even though I may have antibodies. That's scary within itself. So testing bad, that's scarier, because now you have people that walk around that say, oh, I'm positive, and now I should have antibodies, so I'm good, who may not have been positive and can still get this disease. So like I said, all of these scenarios are scary in this time. Stay home, be safe.
You need to treat it like chicken pox, though. Just go out there, catch the shit right quick, get it over with, get it out your system, and you good.
Man, but I thought I had it, though. You know what I'm saying?
Did you really think you had it?
I promise you.
When did you get sick?
When that test came back and it said negative, I was like, what you mean negative? When I looked at that thing and it said negative, shocked me to my core. I just knew that I had it at some point.
Ladies and gentlemen, to catch you up, since we've been gone, we signed up for a study, a COVID study, yes. right? To get an active test and to get antibodies test. So the active test, they take the Q-tip that's this long and they stick it into your brain. And then they twist it and twist it for 10 seconds each nostril. Mm-hmm. And then they got your head against the wall. And look, back in the day, I got a STD test. It was gonorrhea, syphilis, chlamydia. Oh, one Jesus. Of them kind of tests where they stick the Q-tip in your dick twist it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
felt like
man, I don't know. I'm gonna have to think about that one. But what the nurse did at the time, I was like 18 years old, and she put me up against a wall. And she was like, stand here, and I'm going to take this Q-tip, da, 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 da. And I'm like, why we move from the little bed thing that you sit on to the wall? Not thinking. She stuck that Q-tip in. I jumped the fuck back. I couldn't go anywhere. The wall. They did that shit with the damn COVID shit. They sat me down in a chair, a wall behind me, and they're like, I'm going to need your nostrils. All right, here. And as soon as I felt the burning, you ever jumped into a pool and then the water shoots up in here and it burns? Mm-hmm. I felt that shit and my head jerked
you
back.
You jerked back?
Whoa.
I did that. My God, that. No doubt.
That and shit
when I tell
hurt.
You, but you said you didn't cry.
I didn't cry. I felt it, but I didn't cry.
Tears were pouring down my face. I could not, my tear duct was on auto and it just kept pouring, would not stop. I could not stop. She kept giving me tissue and the tears just kept running. I don't know. I felt like as she was screwing that thing in, she's clicked my tear ducts on.
They hit stop. The tear ducts. Mm-hmm. They did. They were surprised that I wasn't crying, but then got the blood test too. So turns out my active infection, the swab, came back negative, and my blood said I got the antibodies. So I am a COVID survivor. You know what I'm saying? Y'all want to cash at me a little something because, you know.
Yeah, whatever.
Because I'm a survivor.
Well, I'm negative. And like I said.
When did you get sick, though?
Okay, so around this time that all y'all were being infected and infectious, that was around the time that I started having allergy and sinus issues. Now, you know, I go through this on a yearly basis, almost monthly basis. I'm either having allergic reactions or I'm having sinus issues. Well, I started having those. So I thought that I kept saying to myself, you know, everybody around me sick. This must be, you know, okay, I got it. I have mild symptoms. So I'm thinking, all right, cool. Did it. I'm walking around, even though I'm walking around safely, because I only go to work, home, and the grocery store, and I'm wearing masks and whatever. I'm still being, you know, socially distancing, still being cautious. I still think that I've had it. And then everybody in the office started testing either positive for active or positive for antibodies. And I'm thinking, okay, doing this study, about to take this, and they're about to tell me I have the antibodies, if not the active infection. They tell me no and no. And I'm like, how do I not have these antibodies? That must be wrong.
And that
I think I got a false negative, man.
It could be because in our office, we call it the bullpen because it's like a bullpen, but there's a walkway.
Seven people.
And we're all within arm's reach of each other. There's been numerous positive tests, but you tested negative. And then the person who sits in the cubicle right there beside you tested negative. And then the one that sits way in the corner tested negative as well.
Correct. But then the other one tested positive.
Right. So I don't know. All I know is my immune system, all that training I've been doing, them gym videos, you know what I'm saying? I've been... Look, all that right there,
man, yeah, whatever.
Man, my immune system is black, arm flex emoji because
yeah, whatever
my
you,
shit is you strong.
You fought it off. You actually got it and fought it. I didn't have to fight it. My body, you know, I'm like Wonder Woman. My body went.
They wonder if you're a woman.
Deflected all that shit.
Whatever,
y'all,
man. Who you know?
At it.
Who you know done kicked the flu's ass and then turned around and kicked COVID's ass. Like, first my body was like, man, that flu shit, that shit off of me. Then COVID came along. I ain't gonna lie. I felt like a fucking zombie for like 2-3 days.
You look like one too.
And
still do, matter of fact.
Yo, this shit was funny because I remember it was on a Saturday and old boy said, I got up at 3:00. I said, all right, y'all, I'm out. Dude said, it's my Saturday to leave early. I looked at him and said, so? And walked out the back door. That's how you know I was feeling like shit. I don't give a fuck. I'm gone. But, yeah, shout out to all the people that's really struggling with this shit. All the people who don't have my immune system, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and
whatever.
They actually asked me if I wanted to donate blood.
The plasma?
Yeah.
They want plasma.
And
are you doing it?
I said no, not at this time, because I need more information. Like, if I'm going to give you my blood, I need to be sure that it's going to be useful and helpful, because I don't like that blood donation.
The plasma, I get it, but they're using the plasma for vaccination. They're using the plasma to try to to pinpoint
duplicate the antibodies or
something. Right. Exactly right. And they're because they actually injected, I can't remember who it was that it's somebody that's like either a singer or some celebrity had it, did the plasma donation, and then they used their antibodies, they injected them in some COVID patients. So that's what they're using it. That's what they're using it for, to try to build up their immunities via antibodies. But had I had it, I definitely would have given blood.
I might not. But I think by the time all this shit is said and done, in all honesty, we're going to have herd immunity if the virus does not mutate. Because right now we're reporting,
let's hope it don't.
We're at 1.5 million cases, give or take.
Something like that.
That is underreported, and I don't care what anybody says.
Probably like 5
Yeah, 5-6 million people easy, mm-hmm. because early on they weren't even allowed. We know someone who had the shit whose doctor kept turning her away. Nope, stay home.
Right.
Nope, you got the flu. Tamiflu. Flu.
Yeah. Right. Correct.
So anyway, peace out, people.
Yep. All right, babe. Thanks.